Good morning. It's great to hear that you're all being served in various ways as well. It's a great opportunity to thank God for the different ways in which kind of he provides services for us. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church. I'm going to be speaking from that passage that Arnie Bender read for us, as well as from other passages in 1 Corinthians 2. The topic for today is sustainable service. And so it's all about how to serve and keep on serving for the long term. If you have any questions or comments, you can use the Slido. Just go to there in your browser and put that number in. You can also see what other people have written and like that as well. And we'll answer some of the questions at the end. I'm going to pray for us as we head into God's word. So please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the ultimate service. Your son Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and that was a picture of how humbly he served his people by dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, we want to do that. We want to be like Jesus in this way, but we also recognize that we are limited. We are not Jesus. And so please guide us and help us to serve in the way that you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading a book recently that had a true story of how a pastor had just had an excellent Sunday at church. It was Vision Sunday for his church. He'd gotten up in front of multiple, numerous congregations to lay out the church's plans for the future, to call for people to pray and to give to those plans. And the support that he had received that day was excellent. He had the whole church behind him. But that night, he had a meeting with the elders and the lay leaders of the church, and without any warning, he announced to them that he'd had enough. He was resigning immediately as the pastor of the church. He didn't want to do it anymore. He wasn't even sure that he was Christian. And he told the church, "Do not contact me or even talk to me." And then he just walked straight out of the meeting. People ran out after him, you know, practically begging for him to come back and talk it out. But he didn't even acknowledge them. He just got in his car and drove away, and they never saw him again. We hear a lot about the dangers of burnout, not just in ministry, but in all sorts of service, in work, in family, in relationships. Burnout is more than just stress. The Australian Psychological Society says that burnout is about emotional demand that is caused by stress, high expectations, and feelings of pressure. Symptoms of burnout include feeling drained and exhausted, a lack of passion and enthusiasm, and sometimes anger, frustration, and bitterness against the people who've caused your situation and the people who haven't helped your situation. You know, it doesn't sound fun, does it? And it's a terrible thing when the church, of all places, is responsible for laying such excessive demands of service on people that they are harming those who they are meant to heal. It's easy for churches to do this. It's easy for churches to say, well, you know, this is serving God. You know, you want to serve God, don't you? You want to give God your everything, right? But there are many stories of people who have left churches and left the faith because serving God and others has just killed their own faith in God. Now, we don't want to be a church like that, and we don't want to burn out ourselves. You know, that's one end of the spectrum. But at the same time, we don't want to go out the other way as well. Because as much as there are stories of Christians who've lost their faith because they've burnt out serving God, there are also stories, and I'd probably argue more stories, just quieter stories, of Christians who've lost their faith because of apathy, laziness, because they just never got off the starting line, because they kept on choosing friends and fun and entertainment and comfort and worthless things over serving God. And eventually, the person's mouth just catches up to their heart, and they're like, yeah, you know, I guess I really don't care that much about God. I guess I'm not really a Christian after all. It's winter now, so you might have had that feeling where you're in bed in the morning and your alarm goes off. You stop it, and then you have that kind of nexus point where you can choose which way to go, but you're in a nice, comfortable bed. You're under a warm blanket. Now, you're nice and toasty, and you just want to stay in there a little bit longer. Maybe skip the exercise you were planning to do just to catch a few more minutes of comfort. Now, that might not be your experience. You might be the person who always just gets up immediately, or you might not have an alarm, or you might not have exercise, or you might not get up in the morning, but you kind of get the idea. Laziness, indolence is going to kill a Christian as surely as burnout will. So how do we stay in that safe zone between laziness and burnout? How do we ensure that our service to God and our service to his church is sustainable? Because God does call all Christians to serve him and to serve the people around you. There are all sorts of practical advice that people give, and it's really useful. Things like, you know, read your own Bible and pray. Make sure you have your own personal time with God to keep your spiritual batteries up. Make sure you sleep well for a decent length of time at a consistent time. Make sure you balance well your work life, your family life, your rest. Make sure you can say no to people, because a person you cannot say no to is someone you are a slave to. All right, so definitely do those things. All those things help. But I want to show you today from 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14, God's pattern for good and sustainable service. In 1 Corinthians, God shows us what ideal service looks like. And I think that actually helps us to be clear on how we can serve God in a way that is right for us. Now, 1 Corinthians is a letter written from Paul, the apostle, to the church in Corinth in ancient Greece. The Corinthian church was a church with lots of problems. In this letter, Paul goes through each of those problems one by one. He addresses leadership issues. He addresses faithfulness in marriage issues. He addresses sin in the church issues. He addresses legal disputes between members. And in chapters 12 to 14, he addresses the issue of serving in a church. We're not going to read all of these three chapters together, otherwise I wouldn't have enough time to speak, and we all know how much you guys love hearing me speak. But I'm going to summarize 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 for you by saying that ideal service is the perfect conjunction of three things. It's the perfect conjunction of a gift, of love, and a need. And so that's what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14. And chapter 12 is about the gifts. This is the passage that we saw earlier, verses 4 to 11. It says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." You see what God is saying here? God is saying here that church is a body. Church is an organism. Church is an ecosystem. And within this system, there are many different people with many different abilities, and each person has a role to play. You know, in church, we are not all clones of one another. And it is wrong for any church to insist that all its members fit the same mold. What a church should be trying to do is to help their members be the best people they can be and to serve in a way that is best for them. Now, the gifts that are talked about here were specifically for the Corinthian church. And Paul knew that church very well. So healing, miracles, words of wisdom, that kind of thing. There are a lot of miraculous things going on in that church. For a church like ours, you can imagine Paul talking about the Spirit giving us gifts of caring for people, cooking, gifts of playing the drums, gifts of administration, of giving lifts, of welcoming, of mentoring, of teaching, of encouragement. From 1 Corinthians 12, the thing that we need to get into our heads from this is, no matter who you are, if you are a Christian, and if you're part of a church, you have something to offer to that church. There is some way that you can serve. And it's probably going to be different from how other people serve. So don't look at them and try and copy them. But the basic idea of 1 Corinthians 12 is the first thing you need for good service is someone with a gift. The second thing that you need is love. And that's what chapter 13 is about. Have a look at verses 1 to 8 of chapter 13. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now, this is a beautiful part of scripture. It's often used in wedding services, and you can do that. You know, that's totally fine. It's all about love. But in context, this is about using gifts with love within the church. And the basic idea is that there is no point having a gift that you can use to serve and not having love alongside that gift. If you do not have love and you have a gift, you'll just keep your gift to yourself. Or you'll use your gift to show off. You'll be like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, and no one is helped. No one is served by that. The ideal is that if you have a gift, and we just heard all of us do have gifts, the ideal is that we use it in service to people we love. And if your gifts are a plant, then love is the fertilizer that makes it truly bloom. If your gifts are a sculpture, love is the polish that makes it truly shine. If your gift is a used car, then love is the petrol or the nitrous system that turbocharges and really sends it off. And so part of ideal service is having a love for the church. And, you know, this is what I found. It should be fairly obvious that if you want to grow a love for the church, you can't love people that you spend no time with. You know, the best way to grow a love for the church is to be with the church, to get to know the church. It's a saying that I heard kind of ages ago that it's kind of stayed with me. Friends waste time together. We had a weekend away recently for church. There was some great teaching, for which kind of really thankful for. But the real benefit, I think, was getting away together as a church, having meals together, sharing time and life and energy together. That's what grows love. And so for good service, you need gifts and you need love. But the third thing you need is a need. And that's what chapter 14 is about. And we look at chapter 14, verses 6 to 12, we'll see that. Verse 6. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments, such as the flute or the harp, do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. And now here there's a debate between two different gifts, tongues and prophecy. Which one is best? Tongues is the ability to speak in a language that you haven't learned. God just gives you the ability to speak a message in a foreign language. We see this happen a lot in the Bible. Prophecy is just the ability to speak the word of God. And here, the basic idea is that if I come to you and I speak to you in tongues, if I speak a language that you don't understand, it doesn't help you. You know, it's not something that you need. There's a language called Toshiro, which is a language now only spoken by one person in the world, in the Peruvian Amazon. If someone comes to you and speaks to you in that language, it doesn't matter how miraculous it is that they can speak it. It doesn't help you because you cannot understand what they are saying. In the passage, it talks about lifeless instruments like the flute or the harp not giving distinct notes. That's something I think that every parent who has a kid who plays an instrument can relate to, right? But it's this idea that when you speak, it's got to be intelligible. If you speak in tongues and you don't have an interpreter, you might as well not hear it. But if someone prophesies, if someone speaks a word of God to you in your language, well, that is something that can help you. That's meeting a need. That's useful. And so when it comes to service, what you need is this trifecta of things. You need a gift that you can use to serve the church. You need to have a love for the church. And there needs to be a need in the church that your gift can meet. Now, this might sound all pretty captain obvious. You know, it's pretty common sense. But common sense is what the Bible excels in. The Bible is really, really good at common sense because God knows that common sense is not all that common. And week after week at church, this kind of common sense service where people's gifts meet people's needs in love happens. People come up the front to serve at church. People in need receive meals, an encouraging message, a phone call, a meetup. People who are lonely find a place to belong. And the word of God is spoken in a language that people can understand. That is the ideal, that perfect congruence of gift, love, and need. But what about when things aren't ideal? What about that burnout, that laziness that we heard about before? Well, once we know that service is about gifts, love, and need, 1 Corinthians actually does have a little bit more to say about that. But the thing is that you need to be able to know the ideal service in order to spot the non-ideal ones. In the same way that you need to know what a straight line is in order to spot a crooked one. And so let me show you some wisdom on sustainable service from 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. First piece of advice that 1 Corinthians gives us is when you can't give, don't give. Basically, know when to stop. Right, the Bible kind of divides people into 2 different groups, people who are in a position to give help and people who are in a position to receive help. And you've got to know which one you are. You've got to know when you're a person who should be receiving help rather than a person who should be giving help. Does the Bible say this? Absolutely it does. Have a look at 1 Corinthians 12, 21 to 26. It says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honourable, we bestow the greater honour. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together." This passage is talking about the parts of the Christian body, the parts of the church who need help. And the Bible says here that those parts of the body, those parts that need help, are not to be discarded. They're not to be left by the wayside. On the contrary, they are indispensable. They receive more honour, more service, more gifts from others, so that there is this balancing out in the church between needs and gifts. You know, the Bible says that we are all different parts of one body. Sometimes you are the eye, sometimes you are the hand, sometimes you are the head, but also sometimes you're the appendix. More accurately, though, I think, you know, we all take turns at being the appendix as we go through those different times in our lives when we need help. That's not a failing. It's not a problem. It's just life. It's just what happens with people as they go through the ups and downs of life. And in those situations, if you are in a position where you just don't feel like you can help, well, you're not called to do the same service as everyone else. You're called to receive service instead. It's like when you're in a plane before takeoff and they give you the pre-flight instructions that you don't listen to. But what do they say about the oxygen masks when they come down and you have a kid next to you? They say, you know, make sure that you fit your own mask before fitting someone else's. It's the same with serving in church. It's the same with strength and weakness and gifts and needs. Make sure you have your own tanks filled up. Make sure you have something to give before you give out of them. And if you don't, right, like if you have nothing, well, yeah, definitely, you know, just come, just receive for a little bit. Because people who act gifted and serve when they can't is not Christian service. Because what you have is a person who is giving when they should be receiving. Second one is the opposite of the first one, is when you can give, don't not give. And I think the English of that is a little bit difficult, but I hope you get the idea. It might have been just easier to say when you can give, give. But that's the idea. Okay, so if you're in a position to serve, if you are in a position to serve, if you have your tanks filled up and ready, if you are strong, then show that you love God and love the church by using what you have to help those who need it. A Christian who loves their church, a Christian who is able, should never be satisfied with saying to themselves, I have done everything I was asked to do. Or they should never be satisfied with someone else is going to do it. You know, love does not stop at some sort of arbitrary amount of giving. Love stops when needs are met as much as you can meet them. In fact, if you are the kind of person who can serve in some way and you don't, then that kind of increases the chance that someone will do it who's not in a position to do it. You know, you might end up burning someone else out if you don't do something that you can do. And so if you're in a position to serve, please, you know, do not hold back just because you don't want to or just because you haven't been asked. Okay, seriously, don't do that. Just go out and serve people. If you do that, if you hold back your service, say on behalf of church, we'll halve how much we pay you. So second tip for sustainable service, when you can give, don't not give. Finally, 1 Corinthians 14, don't give what people don't need, right? Don't give tongues when people need prophecy. Don't give words in Toshiro when people need words in English. Don't give rebuke when people need comfort and reassurance. Don't give stuff and money when people need time with people. Don't just give a message when people need practical help. I'm sure we've experienced, all of us, how it feels when people try and provide help for us, but it's not quite what we need. You know, giving other people what they don't need, it just tires you out and it just annoys the other person. And it's not actually Christian service because it's not helping them. I was serving in another church before kind of I came to this one. I have to be clear, it was not this church. I had been a Bible study leader at that church for about 5 years. At one of the end of year celebrations for this church, they gave all the Bible study leaders a gift for serving. I got a book at the end of 5 years of leading Bible studies titled Leading Better Bible Studies. You can imagine how I felt. There was a gift there. I'm pretty sure there was love there. But, and this is probably just my opinion, maybe I actually did need it, I don't know. There wasn't a need there. And so God is saying to us, you know, don't be like that. Give people what they need. Don't give them what they don't need. And the best way to know what people need is to spend time with them in love so you discern their needs. That is another key to sustainable service. Now, I hope that what you've seen from all this, the big theme from 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, is that service is not one size fits all. Not everyone serves in the same way because we have different gifts. What is good for one person is not automatically good for another because we all have different needs. Some people need more attention. Some people need less. Some people need more patience. Some people need less. Some people need the right people to look after them. And the right person may be you or it may not be you. Sometimes we'll be in a position to receive service. Sometimes we'll only be able to receive service from others. That's all we can do. Most of the time, though, it'll probably be a mixture. We'll be able to receive in some way and give in another. But I think the key is about being honest about where we're at. It's about being able to get the balance right. But if you have love in the center, eventually, probably through trial and error, you will find out how to do it right. God calls us to serve when we can serve. He calls us to use our gifts to meet people's needs in love. And it's that perfect conjunction of gift, need, and love that we are always aiming for. Because that is what Jesus did for us, wasn't it? In our deepest need of our sin, he provided what he was able to give, his death on the cross for us, so that we would be right with God, all out of his love. That is the key to sustainable service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that your Son Jesus served us in that way. Thank you that he died on the cross for us in our time of deepest need when we were still sinners. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may see that as a model for the way that we serve others. Please help us to give out of our capacity, out of our strength, to those who are in need. Please give us a love for those around us so that we do this well and so that we do the right kind of giving that matches their needs. But please also help us to give sustainably. Please help us not to be people who pretend that we are in a position to give when we're actually not, when we actually need help. Please help us to be honest about that. And please help us to be courageous and humble enough to receive help from others. Lord, we also pray that we may not seek to be served when we are the kinds of people who should be serving. Please help us not to pretend to weakness when in fact we are strong. And Lord, we pray that you may work in our church and give us a great wisdom to know what each other need as well as what people in our community need, so that we might be able to serve them well, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.